Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
So my name is Timothy Millard. I go by TJ. And I started in aviation in the U.S. Army. I started flying Apache helicopters for the U.S. Army back in 2011. And did that until 2018. And sometime in between that, I picked up the whole drone game and started my career on that end as well. So I was kind of moonlighting as a drone pilot and flying helicopters during the day. So,
do you mind if we just jump right into some student questions? Because we have some students who are in Eastern Europe, so it's a little bit later. So
absolutely, yeah.
Some of the kids already emailed me some questions. Guys, if you have any questions during this, go ahead and put them in the chat. So one of the kids wanted to know, how have you seen technology evolve since you first started with drones?
Yeah, you know what? I naturally gravitate toward telling that story anyways, because it is a kind of just a natural progression with that, how technology has grown in the drone industry. The very first drone that I had was a DJI Phantom, which is, you know, I think everyone was familiar with, just a little white, you know, Phantom drone, and there was no cameras on them at that point in time. It was literally just for the hobby of flying the drone around. And then along came the little gimbal that you could do your own, do it yourself, soldering and put the GoPro under it. And then you could fly a GoPro around, and the footage was shaky and it looked like crap, but you know what? You were flying a camera around and you had some footage, and it, you know what? It looked okay for certain productions and stuff. And then after that, the Inspire 1 came out, which was really the exponential leap in the drone technology. That's when things became a little bit more streamlined for using it on productions. And after the Inspire 1 came, then the Inspire 2 through DJI. And there were a couple other companies who were playing in the realm as well. But DJI kind of has a foothold in the production space right now. But the Inspire 2 is the flagship workhorse on productions that we use today. Unless we're flying a larger camera, if we're going to go fly an Alexa Mini or a real film camera, then we're going to be flying like an Alta X, which has a larger weightlifting capacity to get the camera off the ground. So
one of the kids, and they wanted to know, so I'll just rapid fire some of these questions while we have you. One of the kids, they wanted to know how many copters do you guys use? Is it quadcopter, octocopter? Because the size of the cameras are pretty big, right?
They are. Yeah. So the Inspire 2 is just a quadcopter. The Alta X is a quadcopter, but the motor sizes differ greatly. On the Alta X, the motors are huge. We're lifting, 70 pounds plus on certain productions with authorization from the FAA, because the actual legal limit for flying production is 55 pounds, nothing more. The motors are definitely bigger on that drone. Certain drones, I work with one of the companies out there called Lightcraft. Lightcraft is doing a lot of big productions with a lot of different movies. We did Emancipation, we did Ambulance with Michael Bay, a lot of the FPV racing, where the drones screaming down a side of a building and then, behind an ambulance and all that kind of stuff. Those drones are, all custom made within the Lightcraft house, and some of them are quadcopters, some of them are, they have eight blades. I don't know what the term for that is, but they have that. it just kind of adds a little bit more weightlifting capacity and maneuverability. So
one of the kids, and I was kind of curious about this, what's the fastest you have ever gone when it came to getting production material?
The fastest, how fast I've flown a drone?
How fast, miles per hour, knots, how fast have you had to fly a drone for footage?
Or yeah, is it speed up and we're flying, the Inspire 2 will do 65. I've routinely done that. I mean, you see 65 with a tailwind. If you got a headwind, you're not going to see those numbers. But I think one of my favorite stories to tell for like flying fast with an impressive package would be, we were working on a show called Waco, season 2. And we were going to be starting a shot from pretty far out. We see this vast landscape and a car's on the road, and they wanted to fly into the back of the car. And so we're flying a real film camera. This is an Alta X, it's a heavy payload. And we came screaming in with a payload that is about 65, 70 pounds at around 62 miles an hour and just about 3 feet off the ground. So that was an exciting one, because, we're flying a larger camera at that point in time. So not only are you concerned about the drone, but also the camera. So if this payload wrecks, we're talking about, $150,000, $200,000. So there's a lot of adrenaline and pressure that comes with this job that you kind of just learn to live with a little bit.
Can you talk to the kids? I mean, that stuff seems so intense. But can you talk to the kids a little bit about how high you have gone in your productions?
Altitude or like the...
Altitude.
Yeah, so at no point in time are we going over 400 feet. 400 feet is the legal limit through the FAA. I'm sure most of you guys are familiar if you're playing with drones. That's kind of where it stops. If we are going to go over that, we need to coordinate with the local airspace authority and ensure that we're meeting all of the safety requirements for that area. So...
That is absolutely intense stuff. So we have a couple more questions and we'll let you go. So one of our kids, they wanted to know, how do you stay up to date with the latest advances in drone technology?
I think working within the industry, I'm you know, very fortunate to work with a lot of the larger companies in Los Angeles that work on, like I said, a lot of larger productions. So kind of always on the forefront of what's coming. A lot of the companies out there will kind of come to these companies and say, hey, this is what we're working on. Can you guys play with this and see where we can improve it, what we can do with it? So kind of get a little bit of a behind the scenes look at things that are coming down the pipeline before they hit Instagram.
So you spent 8 years in the US Army, correct?
I did.
Okay. So, and you were an Apache pilot, correct?
Yep. Apache pilot. Okay.
Yep. Just want to make sure we got all that correct. So we have a question from Irene and she is in Italy and she had a question about your past life in the military and how it has an impact on your present. So Irene, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. How was your experience in the US Army?
Hey, Irene. The US Army was something that I wanted to participate in and fly helicopters in since I was probably in the seventh grade. My dad actually worked for Boeing, who creates the Apache. And I sat in that helicopter when I was, like I said, seventh, eighth grade. And I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do. So I, worked hard and made that happen. And it was really neat. You know, I don't think a lot of people get to feel that fulfillment of achieving like that lifelong dream. And so the first time we lifted off in that helicopter, my smile was ear to ear. And then the remaining 7 years of my time in the Army was really spent just enjoying the mission of the helicopter, providing ground support for the providing air support for the ground troops, and just, you know, really enjoying that machine. It is a marvel of machinery.
Thank you very much for your service, for all that you've done for our country. We have you guys are coming in with these questions hot. So one of our kids, they wanted to know, what are some of the more memorable pictures that you've worked on?
Some of the TV shows I've worked on, movies. Let's see here, some that you guys might know. I worked on a show called WandaVision. I flew for a show called Space Force, Star Trek Picard, Succession. I start to draw blanks as I try to go down the list, but SWAT, SEAL Team, more commercials than I can count. If you've seen any car commercial or some, you know, drug commercial for a pharmaceutical, I was probably the drone or, you know, some part in it.
So. That is so much fun. That is so cool. And I would be remiss not as a teacher to not mention about the requirements. What are the requirements for somebody to commercially get footage for a drone? Like, you can't just go out and just film. What are the requirements, at least here in the United States?
Yeah, so to commercially profit off of drone work, you need to have a Part 107, which is an FAA certificate authorizing you to utilize that drone for commercial services. Outside of that, the production would have to have in place certain, you know, stuff with the local area saying we're going to be doing commercial filming and permits and all that kind of stuff that authorizes you to legally go out and do this. I mean, that being said, it's the Wild West. So
that is awesome. All right. We have a question from Luke, and Luke, you can go ahead and unmute. Luke is in Europe, and he had a pretty good question for you. Go ahead, buddy.
Hi. I just wanted to ask if you had any advice for someone that wanted to get in the flying drones thing, either professionally or just as a hobby in general.
Hey, Luke. Yeah, thanks for the question. I would say go ahead and buy a drone, first of all, whether you want to get into the FPV game, which is, you know, a little bit more of the racing with the drones going up the buildings and screaming down the canyons and all that kind of stuff, or if it's more for the stabilized cinematic imagery. There's a couple different options that you can get out there. DJI provides a lot of great options for you to get into both of those areas pretty quickly. The Mavic series is a great place to start for the cinematic version, or the cinematic still, you know, more gimbal shots. And then they have the DJI FPV or Avada that is a great beginner drone for the FPV realm.
Man, there is just so much science behind this. There's, can you talk to the kids, and we're going to let you go in a little bit, about what kind of subjects in school should they study if they want to go that route to follow in your path professionally?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question. I was not necessarily the ideal student.
There's some science. There's science in what you do.
I want to encourage you all to definitely take part in whatever like areas that interest you. I think if you go after something that interests you, you're going to excel in it regardless. That being said, you know, there are certain areas that will benefit you more in certain careers. If you want to go fly in the military, math, science, English, there's a lot of tests that lead up to getting into a cockpit for the U.S. military. That being said, I can tell you, don't give up if it's not looking like, you know, if the grades aren't there, or if, you know, you're just, whatever the challenge is, don't quit. Cause I got told no plenty of times on my way to flying Apaches, and, in the end it all worked out. So.
That is exciting. So we'll go with two more questions. I'm gonna let you go. One of the kids, they wanted to know, how do you prepare for a shoot? Like, what is pre-production like? What is that process?
Yeah, great question. It really depends on what the shoot is, what we're doing. You know, a lot of times I feel kind of guilty on a lot of sets, because we will, depending on the production, if they know what they want, sometimes they'll call us in for, let's say the shoot starts, we have a 12 o'clock call time and we're going to shoot at 2 p.m. Okay. So I'm sorry, 12 p.m. call time, 2 p.m. you start shooting. So that gives us, you know, an hour to get there, maybe grab some lunch, set up the drone, and then we start doing our shots. And if it's just like an establishing aerial of a warehouse or a road or whatever it is, and that might be our shot for the day. And if the production knows that, I mean, when you're talking bang for the buck, it's a good day, because you're walking in there, you might work 4 hours and you're going home. I mean, that being said, there are much longer days. You know, a lot of the stuff that I did for a show called SWAT on CBS, we would get there, you know, 5:30 in the morning. We're going to be chasing cars all day. We're going to be following a guy during an explosion as he jumps out or whatever. Those are very long rehearsed days, working with the actors, working with the director, the DP. Ensuring that, number one, we're safe on the production, and number two, we're getting what the director wants. So it really depends what the shot's going to be.
That is an intense day at work, what you just described. So another thing that I wanted you to kind of touch on, as far as the production end, like, what with the FAA regulations, obviously there's red tape where you can and cannot fly, but you guys working in Hollywood, there's certain exceptions. So what is some of the more incredible, memorable shots that you've been able to get where normal people without your ability are not able to get?
Yeah, absolutely. I've anywhere you can think of that you're like, oh, you're not gonna fly a drone there, I probably did it, from the airport to you know, shutting down the Pacific Coast Highway, which, you know, that can, you get people stepping out of their cars to watch, you know, the whole production happening and stuff as we're shutting down a big bridge and driving cars across and flying drones and blowing stuff up. And downtown LA, I just got back from 2 weeks up in Norway working on a secret squirrel project up there, up in the Arctic Circle, which was absolutely incredible. And it, yeah, it'll take you places, that's for sure. It'll definitely take you places.
That is incredible. Okay, TJ, before we let you go, and you kind of touched on this before, but I asked this to all of our guests. Is there any advice that you can give to these kids as someone as accomplished as you are? You're kind of a Renaissance man, the lives that you've lived in your lifetime. What kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off and try and blaze their own trail?
Don't quit. Yeah, don't quit. Find something you're passionate about. And you know, continue to do that. I think it's kind of a cliche statement by now, you know, these days, but it's like, if you're finding something that you enjoy doing, you don't really have to work. You know, I go to work and I play with RC toys. Like, it really is just finding something you enjoy doing, whether it's drones, whether it's helicopters, whatever it is, go chase it. Don't let anyone tell you can't do it. Yeah. Don't take no for an answer.
PJ, we cannot thank you enough for your time. Congratulations on the continued success. Before I let everyone go, before I end the meeting for all, can everyone unmute and can we say thank you to TJ Millard for taking the time out of his valuable day to come and inspire and educate you guys? Thank you so much, TJ.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the questions, guys.
I appreciate it.